to our first annual In the Company of Women celebration. I am so happy to be here this morning in the company of the women who have come together to help us celebrate the beauty, the strength, the wisdom, the creativity, the music, the words of women here in our church family, and like the words that we just read from Marge Piercy. I originally was going to plan a little sermon, a little introduction to today, but as the women came together in this fabulous process, I really don't need to say anything. I think the women that you hear from, the poems that we share today, the songs that we share, will let you know exactly what today is all about. We've all grown and been inspired and learned from women in our lives. The only thing I want to mention is the magic that can occur when women come together with intentionality. When we first started talking about the service, someone said to me, "Do you really want to do that? You know, I've heard about UUs. It sounds kind of like it's going to be herding cats. Do you really want to do this?" And you know, it was nothing like that. For me, it was a lesson in trust, in collaboration, in cooperation, in communication. I didn't know that was such a good alliteration. Everyone came together to do their job, to help each other and support each other, to share their words, their wisdom, and their talents. And it was just a remarkable experience for me to do this in the company of the women that brought today together. So, without further ado, we will hear from the women.
This is a short poem by Rosemary Waholta Trummer, and it is called The Blessing. Sometimes I forget the trees. It's embarrassing to admit, like saying, I forget to have hands. But days go by when I do not consider them. And then some mornings, today for instance, the trees, like an Indian saint, hurling petals at her attendants, throw their fluffy white catkins into my hands, my hair, into everywhere I look, until everything is baptized in white cotton down. And I half expect the giant limbs to pull me into a great gray trunk and hold me close, whispering into my ear in words so quiet no one else can hear, "My daughter, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter."
Not I, not anyone else, can travel that road for you. You must travel it for yourself. These are the words of Walt Whitman. Several months ago, a friend invited me to walk a labyrinth, inspired by conversations that we had had about our individual life's journey and spiritual paths. At that time, I knew very little about labyrinths, even though I had walked a few before. I'd even visited the Chartres Chapel or Cathedral in Chartres, France, the home of a very famous medieval labyrinth that was built in the 13th century. We went to the labyrinth at Stadium Place. It was a cold, wet March afternoon. My intention for the labyrinth walk was to be open and to receiving guidance. This time, the labyrinth walk was different for me. At the end of the walk, I felt a sense of calm and a deepened connection with the universe. I now include labyrinth walking as part of my routine spiritual practice. Walking nurtures my soul. If we fail to nurture our souls, they wither. Walking creates a space for reflection. Through reflection, We might deepen our capacity for compassion, for patience, for healing, along with being in community and in relationship with the world. I'm discovering some of the many labyrinths in and around Baltimore. For example, there's a beautifully landscaped labyrinth at the Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center, and it invites us to take a walk towards hope and healing. In an urban environment, as you're walking, you hear the traffic and the cars beeping while you're walking. At the Bon Secours Retreat and Conference Center, the labyrinth there offers a very serene, quiet place, and you can connect with nature among the beautiful trees and plants. There's at the Amazing Grace Lutheran Church Labyrinth on Port Street is an inner city sweet spot. It's made of gravel and stone markers. It's tucked behind the garden at the back of the church. It's messy and beautiful, just like Baltimore. I love going there. Each labyrinth is unique, and each walk is a different experience. Labyrinths have been created out of various sorts of materials and designs. They've been carved in wood, on rocks, woven into the design of blankets and baskets, and laid out on the ground with stones in the deserts, on shorelines, or in marble and granite on the floors of cathedrals and churches, or they're cut into the turf on village greens. The path might be planted with shrubbery, shoveled in snow, painted on cement, or rolled from a ribbon or rope. There are numerous patterns of labyrinths throughout various cultures. There's a classical design, something like this, that's found worldwide, and it appears in petroglyphs in Spain and coins from Crete. There's a medieval design, like the design of the Chartres Chapel or Cathedral, like this, 11 circuits. Native American labyrinths are woven into basket designs, such as the man in the maze. And then there's contemporary designs, such as the Snoopy labyrinth at the Charles M. Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California. Many designs. So with so much variation, you might be wondering, exactly what is a labyrinth? Well, it's an ancient spiritual tool. It's thousands of years old. It's been walked by millions of people from all cultures and traditions. It is not a maze that confuses and challenges with tricks, decisions, and dead ends, but rather, it's a single circuitous path. There is one way in, there is a center, and it is the same path out. It's a means to quiet and calm the mind. It's a walking prayer, a walking meditation. There are essentially three stages to walking a labyrinth. A release, walking coming into the labyrinth. A receiving, which is at the center of the labyrinth. Some people bring a question or issues that they want to contemplate while they're in the labyrinth. And then there's the return, walking back out and reconnecting with the world. There's no one way to walk a labyrinth. At a recent In the Company of Women gathering, my sisters, I invited my sisters to a labyrinth walk using labyrinths that were printed on sheets of paper. These were the sheets of paper that I showed you. Okay. And we used our fingers or markers to trace the path. This was my first experience leading a group labyrinth walk, and during the walk, there was silence. Silence. Silence in the company of women is most unusual. Occasionally someone would look up and offer a smile softly, but there was deep concentration. Initially, some were skeptical. They were sure that this was not a single path and they were going to prove it. But when we finished the labyrinth walk, we shared something about our individual experience. Coincidentally, this day happened to be World Labyrinth Day. On the first Saturday in May, Labyrinth workers around the globe are walking. They were walking as one at 1 p.m., whatever your time zone, at 1 p.m. for world peace. Although our meeting was earlier in the day, we shared our walk with others in another time zone. There was a sense of community and connection. When we walk a labyrinth, we are on a path together. Whether we walk on stone, on gravel, on grass, or on paper. The same as we do in life, our paths cross, our journeys might be shared, our experiences might be similar and shared for long lengths of time or short, we don't know. However, each person's journey is personal. And although we share this path, each person walks alone. We walk alone together.
Kathleen asked me to talk about Mike.
Hello.
Kathleen asked me to talk about art and spirituality, my spirituality. And I want to make it clear I can only speak for myself. Each artist has her own words for what and how they create.
I can't speak for Catherine and Terry and Barb and Donna and let's see, another cat, Catherine, Judy, and me. My art and my spirituality cannot be separated. My art is a spirit ritual. I bring everything that I have ever met in my 50-some-odd years on this planet with me in each brushstroke, in each drip, in each color, each line. I bring every gray blade of grass I've ever seen. I bring every glance from every stranger I've ever met on any sidewalk. I bring every word I've ever read on every page I have ever turned. I bring every cool breeze on every hot summer day. I bring every hope, every dream, every joy, every doubt into each mark on each panel. It all comes with me to the studio, everything that I have ever met, as does all the everyday things, like the cleaning and the cooking and the laundry and the grocery and the bills and the building and grounds meetings and all of it. My studio is my sacred space. There is no computer, there is rarely a cell phone, and it has been for the last 15 years, and I seem to keep getting something from it, the Bach cello suites is part of my sacred space, and so is Julie's love and support. I sometimes do rituals to access all that I have experienced, and those rituals change as needed. When I'm looking for words to understand what it is that my work is doing, I start reading the writings of other artists. And sometimes I even incorporate those words of inspiration into my pieces. When I'm not sure of what direction to take, I ask for the guidance from the spirits of the North, the South, the East and the West, the heavens above and the earth below, to bestow on me the energy of their season, of their light, and of their wisdom. When I am too distracted to get in touch with everything that I am, I light sage, and I allow the smoke to cleanse me of all the negative and of all the noise, so that I may hear and feel my own voice. And sometimes I forego all of that. Sometimes I have in my mind's eye just a spark or a little glimmer or just an edge of an idea. I just want to get to work to see what it will become. I can't wait to see how that idea manifests itself. When I start my next piece, all of you will be part of it. All of this will be part of it. All the heat, all the light, and all the energy, everything. We have no idea how each of us affects each other and what masterpieces we all have inspired. I am just starting to realize that maybe all art is just about being present and really experiencing life.
Okay, so I wrote a poem specifically for this service, and it's called Women. Women. Rosa Parks, Diane Nash, Harriet Tubman, Athena, Artemis, women. J.K. Rowling, Jean Craighead George, Ellen Whitlinger, Emily Dickinson, Maya Angelou, Lorraine Hansberry, mothers and grandmothers. Each one of them is a role model, a person who influences our life, one who gives us power to move along in our life, a helper in our society. Each one of them is passionate, speaking to people in their own words, telling the world what they're thinking through thoughts and literature. They stand strong, writing or protesting or speaking to each of us, our cherished idols speaking to us every day in our lives and who are kept in our hearts. Thank you.
I was asked to say a few words about what it's like to be in the company of women in our group, and I had no idea how I was going to put that kind of feeling into words, but I decided to give it a shot. Women share and talk. It's what we do. It's not just idle chatter. Our time together serves a purpose. We don't just hear each other's words. We listen, we support, and we understand, even if we don't always agree. There is something comforting about being in the company of other women, people who know your point of view because they know what it's like to live as a woman. They share the experience, both positive and negative, of being female. The reasons to celebrate, and the reasons to mourn. What it's like to be taught to put restrictions on yourself, to be expected to sacrifice so that others don't have to, and to do it all silently and without complaint. But linked together, we can stand strong against adversaries that alone we might not have the power to withstand. Being able to speak to other women about my life, my soul, my spirituality helps to validate my experience as a woman. Together, we help each other find our voice, speak our words, create our art, and express our values. We sing and dance, paint and sculpt, weave and knit. We preach and protest until we are heard. And when we're finished, I find I'm more in touch with myself. I feel I better understand my own feelings. My spiritual journey is independent, but it doesn't have to be alone. My sisters are with me.
Service again today, and instead of singing Spirit of Life, we're going to invite you to participate in a ritual. In a few moments, Beth and Sharon will be passing out stones, and I'm going to ask you just to take a stone, and we're going to hold it in our hands and just feel its weight and its smoothness, and perhaps reflect on women in our lives, our female ancestors, Mother Earth, the feminine spirit, whatever speaks to you. And then we're going to, and while the stones are being passed out, Melissa is going to be playing for us number 1069, Ancient Mother. And then as we ask you to come forward after the meditation with your stones, we're going to chant that together. And Melissa will be leading us. So I hope I didn't make it sound more complicated than it is. And right, we're going to place the stones in water as an honor of the spirit person, mother, aunt, sibling, sister, spiritual sister, whomever you want to honor through your meditation. So if my beautiful assistant. No. if Sharon and Beth would begin to pass out the stones. I don't want this to end. But before it does, could we all rise and take the hand of a person near you, and I gave away what I need. I need an insert.
Oh.
Connections to one another and to the spirit of life. Walk lightly that you see the life that is below your feet. Spread your arms as if you had wings and could dance through the air. Feel the joy of breath in your lungs and the fire in your heart. Live to love and be a blessing on this earth. Our closing song, we don't usually do this here, but we're sending out a dedication with this song. There are many of our sisters who work very hard to make today happen. There are many sisters in our hearts and in our meditation that aren't here with us today. So our closing song, number 346, we dedicate to them. We've done lots of we've departed often from our regular order of service, including our invitation to community. So I'm going to invite our board member up now, before the postlude, to do that for us.